We haven't entirely nailed down what element it is yet, but I'll tell you this, it's a lively one.
Let's give your parents a call right now.
Hello, welcome to episode number 57 of Gaming with the Moms. My name is Nicole Tanner. I am managing editor at Pixelkin.org and the mother of a four-year-old. We're having one of those fireside chats, or at least that's how Stephen used to describe them today, because Linda's not joining us. But I am joined by Stephen Dutzman, who is father of three and editor and founder of Engage Family Gaming.
Hey, everybody. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, right. Yes. So we're recording this on Wednesday, which is the second day of E3. By the time you listen to this, E3 will be over. But we've been writing lots of stories and staying up late, watching press conferences and whatnot. So yeah, we're both pretty tired.
We're tired. We're tired.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's E3. That's just part of it. And, you know, honestly, we have done so many news stories. Like, we're not going to have, like, the hands-on preview-y type stuff. But as far as news goes, I think we've kind of held our own with all the big boys, which has been pretty impressive.
I'd like to take approximately 31% of the credit for that. I think I'm in that percentage range of I think maybe in there. I know you're at like 75. I don't know how the math works, but
yeah. No, I honestly think you guys have actually written more stories than I have, but I've edited everything.
Oh, you've done way more. I get it. You're a beast. You're a beast, and I mean right. that. Every morning I would wake up, because, spoilers, she's on the West Coast, I'm on the East Coast, so every morning I would wake up, and, like, miracles occurred while I was asleep, because apparently when I stop sending her emails and Skype chats, she just gets into a zone, and, you know, so basically I ruin everything, is what I'm getting at, folks, but, man, this E3 has been exciting. For those of us that are fans of games.
Which, hopefully, if you're listening to this podcast,
yeah,
is everybody.
One would presume that you are. Now, I do want, before we get started, I made some bold predictions, and I want to say, I think I did pretty well. So
you did.
So here are the ones that, remember, I'm going to tell the one that I got completely wrong, the Just Dance Megan Trainor, just failed that one. In fact, what was the song they came out with? Was it like,
I have no idea.
So they didn't even have her on the list of tracks released, let alone the one that they danced to on stage. Now, I should have just predicted that they would dance on stage awkwardly. Then I would have but that would have been too safe. But Hideo Kojima did appear at the Sony press conference. Nintendo absolutely introduced a new IP on their Treehouse Live. I knew those tricky little bastards were going to be coming out there, be like, hey. And you know what's even worse? They snuck it in on a press release.
Yeah.
I get the press release with the recap of day one, and they're like, yeah, and we talked about Legend of Zelda, which, by the way, holy crap, we'll get to that in a minute. But at the very end, oh, and we'll be releasing a new action RPG IP for the 3DS tomorrow. Make sure to tune in. And I'm like, what? You couldn't have told us this a couple of days ago? Like, what if we didn't have coverage?
Yeah.
I had a little, I mean, I handled it. And my preview will be up on pixelkin.org by the time you read this. And it's really good. I'm really excited about that IP. But we'll get to that later also. So I did okay with my predictions. Some of them were a little...
You did.
I think I felt pretty good. I'm not 100%. I had some stinkers, but... The tricky ones, I got in there.
Yeah. Yeah, you actually did. There's not a lot that I can tease you about. So so before we get started, I need to lay all my cards on the table. It probably won't come up, but just in case it does. As I've mentioned on this podcast before, my husband works for 343 Industries, which is a division of Microsoft. And more specifically, he is on the Halo Wars 2 team. If you watched anything, that game came up at E3. I'm not going to talk about it because there's nothing I can say about it that wouldn't sound biased anyhow. So just letting that out there, like even if you think what I say about Microsoft is, you know, you can take what you want and ignore me if you want. But that's what's going on. I try to keep myself objective in the face of this stuff, because I've been doing that for a long time, actually. So,
that's reasonable. Yeah. With that said, how the hell do you get objective about awesome and fun things? So
that's true.
With that said, much respect, and you'll be fine. I have plenty to say about Microsoft, and I have plenty to say about Halo Wars, too. So I'll make up for it. So you can just be quiet, okay, and then I'll ramble when it's time. Although, okay, you know, we'll go from there. So I got you all covered.
Right. Cool.
If you want opinions, I got you. Thoughts and feelings, opinions, knowledge, we're here.
Yes, yes. Okay, then, let's just jump right in and get... Oh, there's one thing I wanted to mention, non-E3 related, and Steven's going to roll his eyes at me or whatever, but last week, after we recorded the podcast, it was announced that Kit Harington, who is the actor who plays Jon Snow on Game of Thrones, is going to be the villain in Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, which I think is super cool. And I kind of want to play Call of Duty now. So, unfortunately,
you
like,
want to play Call
stuff-
of Duty so you can shoot your buddy? Like, because you realize if he's the villain of a shooter, that means you must shoot him, right?
Right. Yes.
Like, legitimate, multiple times, probably in space.
Yeah. One of the things that I was hoping for is that, you know, we saw some new footage. Like, maybe they were going to show, like, a cinematic with, like, him in it or whatever. But
nope, they were too busy shooting guys in the face in space.
Yes.
Let me tell you, that was some... How about the knee to the face? And then the oxygen leaking out makes the guy, like, flip backwards a dozen times.
Yeah.
That was like, ooh, what a way to die. I'm going to be spoilers. I'm never going to get into a firefight in space. I'm not going to do it. I refuse.
Yeah. Okay, so I've got that out of the way. You don't have to be a Game of Thrones fangirl. This week's episode, OMG, really looking forward to. Anyhow, I will stop there. So, E3, let's talk about what our favorite things were. For me... If you heard about this announcement and you know me from listening to Girl Fight or earlier on this podcast, you know that I'm a huge fangirl of God of War. New God of War was announced, which we kind of knew was in development, but we got to see like 10 minutes of gameplay footage. And it's super cool. I mean, it's God of War. There's nothing like groundbreaking about the gameplay. It still looks great. It still has that sort of slowdown before throwing that final punch that is just so satisfying for me. And, but yeah, it's, we're in a Norse place.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Those
were Vikings.
Definitely not in ancient Greece.
Yeah, definitely not in ancient Greece. Yeah, he was almost wearing a shirt. I was impressed.
Right. Yes.
How about that axe, though?
I know. The axe looks pretty cool.
I was very excited about the axe.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, you know, I'm all curious, like, is this Kratos just like a reimagining of Kratos in a different place?
That was clarified.
Or is it the real Kratos? Because like,
that
one
was clarified.
Gameplay, yeah, the one gameplay giveaway was that it was still him, is that the Spartan Rage ability happened while he was fighting that boss. And why would they call it Spartan Rage if he wasn't still a Spartan? So
no, this takes place after the events of God of War 3. So legitimately, this is not a reboot, not a prequel, this is God of War 4. They just didn't call it that.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is going to get a one of them subtitles before it actually gets released, because I think everything's moving to that. But
I don't know.
Doesn't necessarily need one, but this takes place chronologically after that. That is legitimately Kratos, and he's been through some things, and he's going to put some monsters through some things, and theoretically. Some Norse gods through some things, which I'm totally fine with. You wanna kill Loki, have fun. That boss battle's gonna be rough.
Yeah.
All I have to say is this. I want to play this game. I've never actually wanted to play a God of War game. That made me hungry because I love the way it looked. I love the way it played. If they kill that kid, I'ma be pissed. It featured a little kid, and I said it on our Skype call, like that was the most tender Kratos has ever been, because I've played the God of War games. I just never really wanted to. I just did it because I felt like it was my responsibility as a games journalist. So it's kind of like if you're a movie critic, you have to watch the Titanic whether you want to or not. You know, you just do it. So, and I played it, and it was fine. I mean, this dude with knives chained to his hand. I mean, whatevs. But it featured him and his interactions with like what I believe to be like a 10-year-old Viking boy. I'm telling Sony Santa Monica, I swear to God, if you kill that little kid, you will get an angry letter from me. And many angry YouTube videos and blog posts with spoiler stuff attached to them. They better not kill that kid. They better not. I'm just saying, they better not kill that kid. So, yeah, that's it. That's all. The whole time I was going, oh, my man, this kid is going to die. This kid is going to die. They're going to fridge a kid on the E3 stage. And they didn't, but still.
Yeah. No, I mean, if that happens, and that was not something that they would do at E3, if it's something that happens in the game. Which, honestly, Steven, I hate to say it, but I don't know. I'm probably kind of 75% that, yeah, that kid is going to meet an unfortunate end.
If they fridge, he better, as long as it's not a fridge, as long as they don't fridge him, I'll be fine. Do you know what I mean,
a feeling,
right?
Yeah. I have a feeling that, you know, his demise is not going to be coming from Kratos. Let's just say that. Because they're setting it up, it seems like, and you can watch the gameplay footage of this, we have it on Pixelkin, that he's sort of his son, or adopted son, or something along those lines. So, and Kratos actually being nice, that's another thing that's very different about this one, which makes me think, like, he's, you know, someone said, hey, you can have another chance at life, but you need to not be such a jerk. So,
he also might not know that he is him. He never referred to himself by his name.
That's true.
I mean, considering the events of God of War 3, no spoilers necessary, it did not end well for him. And so he could not know that he is him. The Spartan rage thing that's referenced in the thing was an out-of-game, like, a prompt for the player. And frankly, it was a prompt for the player inside a vertical slice of the game. The reality is they could delete that. They could have that could have been put in there for our benefit as a subtle clue to tell us during the trailer, oh, that's legit Kratos. So I mean, he might not know that it is him. He might have woken up and lived another life. There could be time shenanigans where he lived a whole life as this guy. Who knows? We're going to find out. I'm sure that's the link will be explained at some point, and I'm super excited to see how that goes. It's interesting to see depth of character for Kratos, because Kratos historically has just been a giant jerk face that wants to kill everybody. And with pseudo justified reasons, but I mean, come on, bro, there comes a point.
I mean, there's been a couple. In the first God of War, there's a battle towards the end where you're protecting, like, the ghost of Kratos' wife and child. So, like, you know, they get beat up by what, like, you have to try to take out the enemies, and then they get beat up, and then you have to stop and go and hug them to bring their health back up. And so that's a cool thing. And then also in one of the mobile ones, I forget which one it was, he's like being nice to one of his fellow Spartans when he was dying. So there have been a couple times, but not very much, and not anything like we saw in this gameplay footage. So definitely go to pixelkin.org, check it out, send us an email, and let us know what you think. That email is hello@pixelkin.org. So that's mine, Steven. What's yours? Pick one. You have to pick one,
to
and
pick
then we can
absolutely
talk later.
One.
You have to pick one, yes.
Well, that's super easy. I'm going to say Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I am a giant Nintendo dork. I am a slave to everything that they do. And this time, I don't even feel like I have to be a slave. This is easily the most exciting thing I have seen out of an E3 in years. The trailer they showed gave me chills. It looks absolutely gorgeous. It plays exactly how I want and have always wanted a Zelda game to play. I said to myself, man, I really want to find, like, a good open world RPG that I can play. And I was going to buy The Witcher. And then I was like, man, but I can't buy The Witcher because I have kids. And, like, I don't need my kids to watch me playing a game where I have sex on a unicorn. Like, that doesn't need to happen with my kids in the room, right? I can now play a game that is like The Witcher with my kids there. And that, for me, because I'm at a stage in my life where I have a 10-year-old and 8-year-old son, and sharing the games that I love with them is more important than playing the games that I want to play. And so finding out that, you know, that this game exists is everything that I wanted, I mean, it has equipment. It has this game. I'm super. I can't be any more excited. I'm getting choked up just thinking about it. And I'm not, legitimately. This is a huge deal. Nintendo went all in on Legend of Zelda, and you know what? It worked. I am. I was gonna buy it anyway, but now I am. I'll wait in line in the freezing cold. I don't care when I'm buying this game. I am owning it the minute I can, and I'm probably not going to work for 3 days. Like, this is amazing.
Yep. That's understandable.
And I did write a little preview for pixelkin.org, so if you want to read it, head on over there and you can read what I have to say. Oh, wait, no, I didn't write a preview.
You didn't write that one. Oh, Kelly wrote that one.
My bad. I wrote the preview for EngageFamilyGaming.com. So if you want to read it, you can head to EngageFamilyGaming.com and you can take a look at it.
Yes. Okay.
I can't even know what I wrote for you or what I wrote for me. I don't even know anymore.
Right. Okay, so I guess we can go like chronological order from that, because press conferences that we went to and stuff like that. So EA was the first press conference on Sunday. EA, very underwhelming press conference, in my opinion.
Titanfall 2 looked good. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
it. It did. You know, Mass Effect Andromeda, they didn't really show much. Sounded good. The thing that I think was most disappointing is that Jade Raymond came out on stage, and I'm like, oh, man, yeah, she should talk about that Star Wars game that she's working on. And she's like, yeah, we're working on Star Wars. We're making lots of games about Star Wars, but we're not going to tell you anything about any of them. So,
you know, this is one of those Star Wars fans have been patient before.
Yes.
And here's what we know, because I actually did write for pixelkin.org. And the idea here is EA made an investment, right? And they knew that there was a clock where they might lose it because, you know, somebody else might pay more money or whatever. And so they immediately set to work. And what that was is that was a butterfly on the coast of Africa. And that butterfly is making a wave. And that wave is rising. Mm-hmm. It has not crested yet. And so, but the thing is, we know how big it is. We know how big it is. And so they showed us what we have. And what it really comes down to is, assuming everything hits schedule. Now, one thing that's great about EA is they are really good at, for the most part, giving their development teams the resources they need to hit deadlines.
Yes. So
we're going to have a Star Wars game, a AAA legit Star Wars game every year for 10 years. Because we're going to have Battlefront game every other year. And then slotted in between those, we're going to get Amy Hennig's stuff. And, you know, and once she's done with that game, I mean, pre-production is obviously a big deal for her. But she was with Naughty Dog when they put out a game every 2 years for Uncharted. They're doing all their work now once they get started. So if you're a Star Wars fan, sucks now because you don't know. But you know what? Man, you wait next E3, we're going to know what Amy Hennig's project is. And there'll probably be leaks because that's how the internet works. Like, we're going to know her project next year, and then, man, it's just going to keep on rolling.
Yeah.
I like I said, my Star Wars fandom's less than a year old. I'm super excited for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm super excited, too. I just, like, I try to withhold my excitement until, I don't know, it matters more. Because, right now is when I'm actually starting to get excited about Mass Effect Andromeda. And I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't get to see more of this game because it's coming out early next year. It already had been delayed once. And I don't know. We'll see. I'm a little concerned about how little we have seen. Anyhow, so what else at EA? Battlefield, which we already basically knew everything about. Anyhow.
They showed us the behemoth vehicles, which was kind of cool.
Right.
But, I mean, whatever. Airships and armored trains.
Right, yes. Meh. And so later that day, Bethesda had their press conference. And oh my gosh, I think Bethesda had one of the best press conferences that we have seen. They had just so much cool stuff to show off. I think you called this one, Steven, the the remastering of Skyrim.
I did.
Believe that was something that you
called. I called that. And I predicted Quake also, if you'll recall.
You did.
I said that they were going to bring... Now, and I don't know if that... Maybe... I think I get half a point for Quake because it's not really Quake. It's a different game. But man, Quaker Watch. How about that Quaker Watch? I'm calling that forever. That's what I'm going to call it forever. I'm coining that phrase.
Yes. Yeah. So what Steven is talking about is that they unveiled a Quake game. It's called Quake Champions. And based on his very funny combination of those two game titles, you can, you know, infer that it's a lot like Overwatch. It's going to be hero-based, shooter in an arena, all that kind of stuff. With the Quake name. I mean, Quake has always been known for competitive shooting stuff. Like it was the first one to do that. So I think that's smart that they're doing it and putting the name on it. I mean, you know, it's Bethesda, so they probably will make a good game. Yeah. And, you know, having the Quake name on it is just, it's going to help.
If anybody is going to roll into that market, I mean, Gearbox failed, right? So if anybody is going to roll into that specific genre, you either need to be established and don't care if you're niche, like Hi-Rez, who's making Paladins. They're the folks that do Smite, or you need to be it because it's freaking Quake. So, I mean, there's plenty of room for heroes. I mean, Overwatch isn't going to be the only one. So, there's plenty of room, and even being number two is fine because it's not like it's Bethesda's bread and butter. So, I think this is, I knew Quake was coming back. I just felt that it was right, but man, I did not expect that. But sure, I hesitate to call them heroes, though, because. Yes.
What do they call? Oh, they call them champions.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hesitate to call them heroes just because they don't exactly sound like heroic people. you know, none of them really looked terribly heroic. They all looked kind of mean.
Hey, you know, it's Quake.
Yeah.
That fits Quake. I mean, it's going to have a much darker, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it's a game about Cthulhu.
Then. Yeah.
I mean.
Right. Yeah.
So.
What else cool from Bethesda? Prey, old game Year. Prey.
That was like, what?
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Like we've got all these trailers up on Pixelkin under our E3 coverage stuff, but like, it looks pretty creepy. I'm interested. You know, we didn't get to see much outside of the trailer, no gameplay or anything like that. So, and what else? They showed off a lot of gameplay from Dishonored 2. Which made me very interested in it. I never played the first Dishonored. Again, I think it's one of those games that fell into a vacuum when Anna was in her first year of life. But it looks cool. This one and Dishonored 2 looks super cool. You can play as Emily or Norvo, who was like
Corvo.
Who was the character?
Corvo.
In the first one. He was who you played as in the first one, correct?
Yeah. Yes. I have no idea why anyone will want to play as Corvo anymore.
Right. Well, they didn't even show him off. They showed off gameplay with Emily.
Yeah.
And she's got some pretty cool looking stuff. Like, I love that shadow walk thing that she could do. Like the kind of creepy, like crawling across the floor thing. And she has this cool device that has like a lens on it, and you can look through the lens, and it's like at a period in the past, and then you know, if you're not looking through the lens, you're in the present, and she zips like in between the past and the present to change things, and it just looks super cool and a little trippy. So
so definitely
that's that.
Trippy.
Fallout stuff. Fallout Shelter is coming to the PC. You know, still be free. And they've started this quest system thing, which I haven't played this in a long time. You could always send your people out on quests and they would just come back if they survived. So I'm not really sure how different this is. I guess you can go with them now out on the quests, and there's some more combat involved, but for the most part, probably not all that different. Fallout 4 is getting a few new DLC packs. One of these sounds like super cool. Like, I haven't even started playing Fallout 4, even though I'd be interested in playing it, or, you know, was interested in playing it, because I know how much time it's going to take. But anyhow, they have a DLC called Vault Tech Workshop, which is where you build your own vault, and then you try to attract, you know, your wasteland inhabitants and run experiments on them. Basically, it's sort of like Fallout Shelter, but it will have more more features in it, I'm pretty sure. And then the other DLC, they've got Contraptions Workshop, which lets you build like elevators and conveyor belts and all kinds of stuff. And then they've got a new environment, Nuka World, which is so awesome. It's an amusement park, you know, based on the lovely wasteland beverage of choice, Nuka Cola. So that's cool if you're playing Fallout 4.
Yep.
If you have season pass, you can get those for free. That's part of the season pass. And let's see, what else? What else did Bethesda talk about? Doom. Doom is getting some update stuff, right? And a free demo. You wrote this one, right, Steven?
Yeah, I mean, there's a free demo this week. The demo is almost over. By the time you read this, they're doing some new maps, new modes. It's more Doom. It's more Doom. If you like Doom, then it's Doom.
Right, yes.
If you don't like Doom, then it's not Doom.
It's still Doom.
It's still Doom. It's not your jam.
Right, yes. So that was the press conferences on Sunday. Monday morning, we started off with Microsoft. Now, the biggest thing I think that Microsoft announced, which I was skeptical as to whether or not they were actually going to announce this, but they unveiled Project Scorpio, which is the, the way they're describing this is really kind of weird. Like, it's not like so much a new console as like an evolution something or other. Anyhow, it's going to be a console that's going to sit beside the Xbox, current generation Xbox One. So everything is going to work on both. It's got more processing power. They did this neat little like montage of developers just talking about how much cooler this game would be. This console was going to be to develop for because it's got all this power and blah, 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 blah. So, but that's not coming out until next year. I think they said holiday next year. And so they also announced the Xbox One S, which kind of stands for slim. So, you know, we knew about this one. It's going to be 40% smaller than the current Xbox One. And it's also going to come in white, it looks like, as opposed to black. And then they also announced this cool new controller initiative, which I think is so awesome. Totally going to take advantage of it right away, is that you can order a custom controller. You can change all the colors. You can have your gamer tag printed on the front of it. You can print whatever you want on the front of it. For me, it'll be the gamer tag. But yeah, so you can go design your own controller and then, and you pay for it, obviously, but you can get a custom controller. So that's I think the biggest news from Microsoft. They also had some pretty... The whole thing that they had going throughout the entire press conference was this theme of this Xbox Play Anywhere thing, where if you buy your game for Xbox One or PC, you have it for both consoles. You don't have to buy it twice. And lots of the games are going to be cross-play between PC and Xbox One. Not all of them, but a lot of them. So that was kind of their theme over, you know, the whole thing. It's like, we are uniting Xbox and Windows 10 into kind of the seamless gaming platform, larger gaming platform. Part of that was the announcement about Minecraft, which is getting cross-platform play between PC and mobile, right, Steven? Is that what it was?
Minecraft? Yes, the Minecraft thing, the friendly update is cross-play between PC and mobile, but it's just the beginning because their eventual goal is to have no barriers anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
But PC and mobile, I think, is a very good start.
Yeah. Yeah. Because didn't you say that your sons have friends that play like on mobile platforms or whatever?
Absolutely. Plenty of them have. Yeah. They have plenty of friends who their parents bought it for them and bought them the mobile edition on the iPad. And now they can play together. Nice. Because we own it on both the Xbox One and on the PC. So eventually they said that the Xbox One is the next thing that's going to be on the cross play, which would be great because that means that the two boys will be able to play but not have to share a screen, which I love. It'll just be easy. I mean, it'll be easier for them. Yeah. They'll love it. But it also means that like I could play with them while the two of them were on the Xbox or what have you. So, and then my wife could play on the iPad. And all four of us could play together. So, I mean, that the possibilities of more people playing together, even within one family, are great. But the fact that you have friends, that's what they want. They want to eliminate the barriers. And the phrase came up a lot, gaming without boundaries. Like, they really want everybody to be able to play together in some way. And Minecraft is, like, the ambassador and test ground for that. I'm super excited. Yeah. It's the smart move. And it's a surprising one. I expected that they were going to make it a walled garden and they were going to shut it down. They obviously are really enjoying the fact that this is the best-selling video game of all time. They're going to ride this shit forever. And considering next year we have a new console coming out, everybody's got to buy it for that. That's a couple million more sales. I mean, it's selling 53,000 copies a day. They're just riding it in.
So other stuff that we saw at Microsoft, they showed off Gears of War 4, which we knew they were going to show off.
It looked like Gears.
It was cool, though, too. I'm not a big Gears fan, but, you know, it was pretty. It was cool. It had this, like, kind of dust stormy wind blowing all over the place, which is funny. It's kind of a trend that I saw. There were a bunch of games that, like, talked about their weather effects. And I thought, well, that's almost like the trend of this year's E3, video games now with more weather.
Well, to be fair, we finally have the power. Like, you know, right. We couldn't really do that.
Yes. But it's still funny to see, like, so many games just talking about that. Yeah. So Gears 4 actually will have cross-platform play, and it'll also be cross-buy. So if you buy it on Xbox One, you can play it on PC, and you can play with other people between your PC and your Xbox One. So that's pretty cool. I wish they had shown a little bit more of ReCore. ReCore is this cool game. It's being developed by the Armature. Guy who made Mega Man.
Yep. To be specific, he's part of it, but he's not doing a lot.
All right.
Keiji Inafune, Armature Studios, doing ReCore. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. But it looks really cool. They don't tell you for sure what the kind of premise is, but it looks like to me that you get these cores. They're like these glowing orbs that you can stick into robots and make them do things for you. Yeah, so
I'm sold.
And yeah, I am too. It looks super cool.
There's been some gameplay footage out on, I think IGN has like 15, 20 minutes of gameplay footage. It looks like an action platformer.
Yeah.
Where you have pets.
Yes.
Robot pets.
Robot pets.
I'm sold. Yeah, I mean, robot pets is better than actual pets in video games.
I don't know. Okay, I'll give you that one.
That's a topic for another show. Right. Robot pets or real pets? Actually, why don't you just email the show with your opinion and tell us, do you prefer robot pets or real pets? Thanks.
State of Decay 2 got announced. State of Decay is an awesome, awesome game. I love this game. I actually, like, before it was released, I went to the developer for a press day thing, actually for IGN. They're like, hey, you're in Seattle. Why don't you go do this? And I was like, okay. I figured, like, oh, it's a zombie game, you know, whatever. I'll stay for an hour, play a little bit, and blah, blah, blah. I started playing this game. It was probably at about 10 a.m. I did not stop until they told me I had to stop at 5 p.m. That's how much I loved this game. It is open world, you know, zombies everywhere. You get a team of people that are basically become like allies in a family, and you can play as pretty much any of them. But the interesting thing about this one is if somebody dies, they are dead forever. There's no resurrecting any of your characters unless you, like, you know, start the game over, because it saves like almost immediately after that person dies. So that's an interesting kind. Yeah, it's an interesting kind of thing to have to deal with. But it's super cool because it also involved, like, you've got your stronghold and you can make a garden and, you know, do all this stuff to help your people survive. So it's a really cool game. I'm pretty excited that there's a second one of those coming. Let's see, what else? Oh, Gwent. If you like The Witcher 3 and you played Gwent within The Witcher 3, Gwent is becoming a game all of its own. So, I never played Witcher 3. When I talked to my husband about this, like, hey, yeah, you know that card game of Witcher 3? He's like, oh, Gwent. I hate that game. Like, he's like, whenever there was a quest that came up when I had to play Gwent, I was like, ugh. I'm like, okay, all right, fine. So if you liked it, though, it's going to be its own game. There's no release date or anything yet, but you can sign up for the beta if you would like to do that. We've got information on that at pixelkin.org, too. Let's see. There was a Final Fantasy 15 demo on stage at Microsoft, which was kind of odd to see Final Fantasy 15 on Microsoft stage. But
yeah, it was uncomfortable. Right? It was a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. But Steven, you're the Final Fantasy 15 guy. What did you think of this demo?
I was super impressed with the scale of the fights, because this is the first time that we had really seen a fight where like we really got an idea of what you were going to be doing and what you would occasionally be fighting. And so to set the scene, you know, you are Noctis without any of his friends. Apparently they're catching up. I don't know. There's a story behind it, I'm sure. And you are supposed to be completing this trial of the Eidolon Titan. My presumption is you have to complete some trial and defeat them so that you can, so that you can then summon them later. And you get interrupted by bad guys. And Titan is like, well, I'm fighting you anyway, bro. So let's just deal. And so you have to fight with Titan and these other guys, and you have to do it yourself while you wait for your boys to get there. So you have Titan, like this giant monster, just sweeping the ground. And I actually did a video on my YouTube channel where I actually kind of described like how this affect, like what I felt like while it was happening and just the scale of it. So legitimately, he was like Noctis when he went in to like finally get a hold of and swing at this guy. He was like fitting in and barely scraping like the middle of Titan's knuckles. Like, that's how big he is. And so the scale of it really impressed me. I know it's not going to be the prettiest game on the planet, but you know what? What they are accomplishing, I think it is very impressive. And I already couldn't wait, but I really can't wait now.
Cool. So I think that's... I'm going to skip over Ubisoft, and we can come back to them if we want to, because we're going to be low on time, and I want to make sure we talk about Sony and Nintendo in the same we give them the same amount of airtime as we did Microsoft.
Sure.
So nobody thinks I'm being biased. Okay, so Sony, they opened with the God of War footage, and it was pretty cool. Like, they had this whole orchestra at the thing, and they were like, there are people chanting like medieval chants, basically like they were playing God of War-esque type music. And then they opened it with the God of War gameplay. One thing that was really, really cool to see is, like Steven said, there's a little boy. So it starts off with this little boy outside, and you hear somebody, like, calling boy. And, like, you could, I mean, most of us know that it was Kratos that was saying that. But, like, he gets up and he steps into the light, and you can actually see that it's him. And, like, the crowd went wild. It was super cool. That's one thing I love about Sony's press conferences. They always seem to have, you know,
man,
huge audience appeal.
When
yeah.
he stepped out of the shadows, even I was hype. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and it was a really subtle step. It was just a matter of like half a second. It's just like, boom, because I am hungry.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right.
Right. Yes.
I loved it. That was that was probably the best trailer of the show, I think we have to say, right? Like, because just that reveal, oh man, it was so great.
Yeah. So other cool stuff that Sony did, as Steven mentioned, Hideo Kojima came out and showed a trailer for his game, which is called Death Stranding. And I don't know what the heck this is about. Do you know what this is about?
I don't know. It's about a naked Norman Reedus on a beach with a bunch of dead stuff. You know what? I don't know. Nope, not going to do it. And it's nothing about Norman Reedus. Nothing. I'm not opposed to Norman Reedus. It's that clearly this is a horror game.
Yes.
Clearly it is a horror game. And no, there was a theme of big old nope horror games. Like, for example, Resident Evil 7. And just nope, big old nope.
Yes.
Sure. Do your work. Make money for people. I'm sure horror fans will be very happy. I'm out.
Yes.
Deuces.
Yes.
I'll be playing Zelda.
And as And as Steven mentioned, Resident Evil 7 was announced during Sony's press conference too. Kind of the interesting thing is that you can play this whole thing in VR, which I have no idea why anybody would want to play a Resident Evil game in VR.
Nope.
I know, exactly. So the thing that's different about this one, too, is Resident Evil, at least the more recent ones, have basically been like third person, kind of really action heavy. This one is first person, and it just seems a lot more creepy. And I don't know, they were showing, I guess it's first person. They were showing us the VR demo. But like, yeah, it was nuts. You're like in this house and a phone rings and you pick it up and this lady says, get out of there before they kill you. And you're walking around this like old dilapidated farmhouse. And one of the things that was like really funny about this demo is there's like, you know, there's bugs and stuff flying around and there's like a pot, like a soup pot on the table. And whoever was playing went and took the lid off that soup pot. And I'm like, why would you do that? Like, nothing good was going to be in that pot. Why would you even want to look in that? So,
but anyway. Yeah, that was an odd choice. But yeah, the whole time, yeah. I mean, we were in the Skype chat, and the whole time I was like, nope, nope.
Right, yes.
I am out.
Yeah.
But sure.
Yeah.
Let it exist.
Yeah.
I don't want it to not be made.
Right.
Kojima's got to work. I mean, you got to feed his family.
Yeah. And let's see, speaking of VR, we got a lot of teasers for games that aren't going to have, they're not going to be completely in VR, but there is going to be, like, Star Wars Battlefront, for example, is going to get a special VR level, X-Wing level, where you can, you know, get into an X-Wing, fly around, shoot stuff.
Yes.
And, yes. And there's going to be, Final Fantasy 15 is going to have something VR, Batman Arkham is going to have something VR. So, yeah. So, I mean, we pretty much both said that there was going to be a bunch of VR at Sony's press conference, and
yep,
it was, obviously. What else? Oh, this is the thing that Steven called that I was completely wrong on, and I will completely admit to that. We did get a release date for The Last Guardian, and it's coming this year.
Hey.
Who knew?
I'll tell you, who knew? I knew. That's what happened. Now, I wasn't going to, I wasn't even going to let it go. I was going to be a gentleman. But yeah, I called it. There was no way, you know what? And it really comes down, this isn't a prediction. That was not me. It was that really the only way they could do this and save face was to put out a release date. I would not be stunned if it gets delayed again, but they had to give a release date. Even if they knew it was wrong, they had to give a date. Because if they didn't, shit was going to get super duper real. You know? So yeah, I would literally not be stunned at all if they come back in a month and say, nope, we need another month for polish and it's death by a thousand cuts. But it's, yeah, no. So that was the, there's no way they can save face. I mean, I want to see it. I want to play it.
Yeah.
Can't wait to play it. But good Lord, guys.
Yeah. So what else is Sony?
Speaking of long awaited games, how about, how about Days Gone?
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
All right. So but the story behind this is Sony Bend. They used to make Siphon Filter. The last game they made was the Uncharted game on Vita when the Vita launched. And they have been silent ever since. Certain games journalists, who you know, have lost their mind about what Sony Bend has been doing since then. And they finally announced, like, I saw the Bend logo, and, like, I imagined this guy, like, taking off his glasses, cleaning them, and then, like, swearing a lot because he was so excited that they finally, we knew what they were doing.
Yes. So this is a zombie, post-apocalyptic zombie something, too.
But
I wasn't terribly excited about it. I'm so sick of zombies, honestly.
I think that here's what is interesting about it. Is that it's, I think it's a different kind of, I don't know why, but the fact that it's about like a biker gang actually somewhat interests me. I don't know that I'm going to play it, but I can be interested and somewhat excited about stuff, even if I'm not planning on playing it. I think it's going to do very well. It got a lot of buzz. People were very happy about it. But man, did that guy have a lot of bullets. At one point, yes. He just sat on a roof. Like, I mean, the physics for the zombies as they kind of like flowed like water, World War Z style, I thought was amazing. And the fact that there was no clipping was, from a technical standpoint, it explained they must have spent like 3 years working just on the. They must have spent like 3 years working just on the engine to make that perfect.
Yeah.
Loved every minute of it.
Yeah, it looks really cool. But yeah, zombies, I'm kind of over it. Zombies have been like a thing for like a few years now. And I was hoping like, oh, it's just a thing. We'll get something else. But no, zombies are sticking around, especially in video games. But there was another cool game at Sony's press conference that wasn't about zombies. And that's Horizon Zero Dawn, which looks really cool. It's kind of a weird-ish game. I guess it's post-apocalyptic. Like they're like these crazy robot animals and whatnot. And, you know, the main character has like a technological, like advanced bow with like robotic type stuff in it. It looks cool. I have to say I'm really impressed with how the main character looks, especially in like Sony games, because, you know, Japanese developers don't tend to have a very good track record when it comes to developing female characters, but this one looks really cool.
I don't know that Guerrilla Games is Japanese.
Oh,
I think they're British.
Sony in general does not have a good track record. Yes.
So, I don't disagree. So I agree with you on that. What they have been describing it as is a post apocalypse. Basically, society has already fallen, but it's no longer an apocalypse anymore. It's just, it's different. So whereas The Last of Us was a apocalypse movie because the, you know, like mankind has already ended, like that society is over. And so now it has a new thing, which I think is pretty cool. I cannot wait for this game. If they didn't have Zelda, Horizon would have been my favorite thing. It's the reason I want to buy a PS4. Mm. Forget everything else. This Uncharted nonsense, whatever. I just want Horizon.
Shots
fired.
Yes, exactly. This Horizon looks like something I would want to play too. So it's all right. It's all right. So Crash Bandicoot is coming back. He's going to be in Skylanders, which is pretty cool.
Does that make you care about Skylanders even in a little bit?
No, because I don't really care about Crash Bandicoot.
All right, that's fair.
Oh, the one thing that's funny in Uncharted 4 is there's a little segment where Nathan Drake is in his apartment with his wife, and he's like, you know, made some comment about her video game thing, and so that he could be better than her. So she sits him down, and it's like it's a level from Crash Bandicoot. is what they are playing on their video game system within Uncharted 4. It's pretty cool.
That's super meta.
Yeah, I know. I was very excited when I saw that. But besides the Skylanders thing, they're going to be remastering, what is it, the first and second games? The first three games, yeah. So if you like Crash Bandicoot, he's on his way back. I'm actually kind of surprised that they haven't done this with him earlier.
Well, I think Ratchet and Clank told them to kick those tires. I mean, Ratchet and Clank sold way better than they were expecting. I think it sold way better than anybody was expecting. And so I would not be surprised if there's a whole bunch of stuff like this, you know, which is fine, you know, I mean, but I would be, like I said, I think there's going to be we should see a fair number of franchises do it. I mean, I mean, Naughty Dog could bring back Jack and Daxter. You know, we're going to see, I think that we're just going to see enough that we're going to see too many.
Yeah. My husband has always wanted to see a Daxter and Clank game, ooh, the Sidekicks game. So, Insomniac, get on that. Or wait, no, Jack and Daxter was Naughty Dog.
That was
But anyhow, speaking of Insomniac, they are working on a Spider-Man game, which Steven was half right about, because he knew that there was a Spider-Man game. He was just wrong about the studio.
Which caught me off guard big time, but I don't mind. Insomniac can make a Spider-Man game, sure.
Yeah, it makes complete sense, the more that I was thinking about it, too, because they you know, Sunset Overdrive had this great, you know, world traversal. And as, you know, Spider-Man's obviously going to be swinging a lot through the city on his webs. And they do the swinging stuff in Ratchet and Clank already, too. So they know basically all those mechanics. Just have to bring them all together. And
yep.
They're awesome. I'm super excited about that as well.
Oh, man, I'm going to play the hell out of that game.
There was no release date given on that.
Oh, yeah. 2 years.
There wasn't a ton of release dates given on most of the stuff. But then the other thing they did that I'm really excited about was they showed us some gameplay from Detroit, which is the next game from Quantic Dream with the developers of Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls. And this is set in a near future Detroit, as you might have guessed by the name, where there are androids that are around helping people do various things. And some of the androids have been not happy about having to help people do various things. And so things are kind of going down in this thing. But there's lots of choices, just like you would expect. One of the things that was cool in this gameplay thing, this trailer, is that at the end, like, it kind of threw like this flow chart of all of the choices and all of the things that would happen based on each choice that you made. And it was nuts. It looked like a crazy spider web. So, yeah.
Yeah. It sounds cool. It sounds cool.
Okay, Steven, whatever.
No, I mean, what? It sounds fine. It sounds fine. What would you like me to say?
Nothing. I would like you to be honest. That's fine. We tend to like different things, which is, it's completely okay. We balance each other out that way.
That's why Linda keeps both of us around. I'm sure she'd have gotten rid of me a long time ago and barred me from the podcast if we didn't balance it. No, you know what? Here's the thing. It's just that I thought it was interesting. Mm. My entire plan with Detroit is I'm going to let you play it, and then I'll decide if I need to.
Oh, yeah.
What? You're not going to do that with some games with me?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not very much on the fence about a lot of stuff. I mean, you have kids too, but having a toddler ish, she's almost not a toddler anymore. It's just, I really have to make the snap decisions on the games. Like, I'm like, oh man, if that looks cool, you know, maybe. No.
She's four, like, so she's a preschooler. She's not a toddler anymore. Yes. She's a preschooler.
But like we were just talking about this before we started recording the podcast, is that there's a whole like year and a half worth of games that just got sucked into a vacuum for when, you know, she had just been born until she turned like, you know, two or whatever, that I just didn't play games like most of 2013. I did play two games during that year because it was crazy. Two games got released. The reboot of Tomb Raider, hello, and BioShock Infinite, hello. I had to play those games. But everything else that came out during that time just kind of slipped off, which is why I totally forgot about Beyond Two Souls until Steven brought it up. So that's Sony. Did I forget anything from Sony?
Nope, you did not.
Okay, Nintendo. We already talked about Zelda a lot. But, you know, they had said, we're only going to talk about Zelda.
And that was a lot. That was a lot. Those bastards. That was a lot. They told us, to be fair, they told us about Pokemon, that they were going to bring some Pokemon stuff too.
Yeah.
But it was still a lie because they talked about more games. Yeah. Yeah, I spent a lot of time watching Nintendo stuff over the last 2 days because they lied.
Yeah, so the biggest thing is the announcement of this new game called Ever Oasis, which I didn't actually look at it very much, but Steven was flipping out about it earlier, so why don't you tell us what Ever Oasis is?
Okay, so I'm going to temper this. It's freaking cool. Okay, so the first thing is we need to talk about the developer. The developer is a company called Grezzo, which is owned and operated by Ishii-san. Now, Ishii-san is the guy, this is his cred. You might have read it in my article. But for you listening who don't already know, this is his credentials. He was the lead designer for the Secret of Mana series. He was the character designer who designed Moogles and Chocobos, which if you like Final Fantasy games, kind of important and iconic.
Or if you don't really like Final Fantasy games, like me, like I love Moogles. I just
because they're dorbs.
They are dorbs.
Whatever. So fine, Moogles and Chocobos. Which, if Alexa Rick Correa was on here, I would mention those two things, and she would literally melt to the floor. Right. So, like, you're not a real Final Fantasy fan, so I get it. And then he's the guy that from, and that, so that's just character design stuff. Who cares, right? So he's a good artist. He's also the dude that created the job system in Final Fantasy, which is pervasive across the entire, like, everything, right? Because before that, they had, before Final Fantasy V, where they had the job system, they had all the junk from Final Fantasy I and, you know, whatever. But he created the Blue Mage and the Time Mage and all these things that are like quintessential Final Fantasy. He created that whole system. So that pedigree is massive. This guy clearly knows what he's doing with role-playing games. So Everwasis is fairly straightforward. This is the gameplay loop. You play this little kid slash teenager. I don't know. He looks like a little kid because it's super chibi art. You live in a desert. There's this thing called the Chaos that sweeps in, sweeps your brother away. You can play as a boy or a girl, by the way, but the main character that they showed was a male, but sweeps your brother away. And so you are trying to rescue him, and you run across this water spirit, and she's like, hey, let's make this oasis. So you make an oasis. It's basically a town. Your responsibility is to develop this town using various means. And you attract friends who join your party, and then you go complete bigger challenges, which makes your oasis grow even bigger, and then you get more people, so you get more people in your party, and you keep going and keep going and keep going. You go into these dungeons where you can bring some of your friends, and everybody has a unique power. So it's like, oh, wow, I want to go through the, I want to knock down this door. You can only do it if you have some, maybe you can only get in if you need somebody with a spear. So you need to make sure you bring somebody with a spear. And you can keep going back to these dungeons if you, if you're missing something. And it looks adorable. The gameplay loop looks great. And what's cool is if you bring three people into a dungeon, you can switch between the three characters, you and the other two characters at any time. Very secretive mana-ish. No release date. It's on new 3DS. Loved every minute of it. I cannot freaking wait.
Yeah, it sounds cool. Kind of the mixture of the RPG with the, you know, city building sim-ish thing is pretty cool.
Yeah. Pretty much that's exactly what it is, and it's so cool. So cool, and the art style is beautiful. I mean, it's very chibi, but, I mean, unless you hate chibi stuff. But if you hate chibi stuff, like, are you dead inside? Because chibi stuff is adorable.
I was just going to say, like, who hates chibi stuff?
There's a guy that hates chibi. There's, like, one.
So they also talked about Pokemon Sun and Moon. A couple things. They talked about some of the actual Pokemon that are going to be in there. And they also talked about there's going to be a new four-player mode.
That's huge.
Called Battle Royale.
Yeah, that's huge. So, that's a huge difference. The Battle Royale game mode, I think, is a game changer because I was just talking to my wife runs a home daycare. All the 10-year-olds are straight up 100% Pokemaniacs. Right. And so I roll out there and I tell, like, at the press conference, the thing ended and I walked outside and I was like, hey guys, check out this Battle Royale. And my son was like, I'm just going to use AoE and kill everybody. And I was like, son, what happens if you don't kill everybody? Because the AoE moves are all weaker. That's how they balance that. And he's like, oh, yeah. Well, I'll just wait until one of you moves, and then I'll go. I'm like, no. There's four people. So if you rattlesnake and whack everybody for half their life, guess what's happening? The next three people that go are going to smoke you.
Right.
And he's like, oh. I'm like, yeah, dude. It's not like you get to move and wait, and then they take a turn. It's not back and forth. You got to deal with it all around the table. Then they all started having this discussion about team construction and how would they change, and going from a one-on-one battle to I'm just gonna turtle up. You have to pay more attention to your defenses because you have to deal with three other people. It's a significant change, and one that I think I don't know that it's gonna affect like tournament play, but maybe they could do that. I'm sure somebody will do a tournament somewhere. At our house, we're going to have a lot of four-player battles.
That's cool.
It's so cool. I'm super excited about it. It's a whole different layer of strategy. And I think what's interesting about it is that they're going to be Pokemon that will be competitive in that. And not in that might not necessarily be competitive in the one-on-one matches. I know this is deep dive shit, but it's yeah, I'm way excited. I think there's a revolutionary change, and one that I think will be a lot of fun for a lot of families, especially if you have everybody that loves playing Pokemon and you're wondering why you would get multiple copies of the game. There you go.
So the only press conference that we didn't, well, Square Enix has been doing a live stream type thing.
They didn't really announce anything. It's still going. Yeah, they haven't really. It's still going. It's all been smaller. They haven't announced anything of consequence. Yeah. What they have done is been showing demos about previously announced games. There's a preview that I wrote for Pixelkin.org about Dragon Quest Builders, which I think is worth mentioning. The long and short of it is, you're gonna see the art for it, and you're gonna be like, "Oh, this is just Minecraft." It is not Minecraft. Watch a video, see if it's something you like, but don't just dismiss it. If you own a PS4, and especially if you're looking for, if you like Minecraft, you might be looking for a different experience. It is similar enough that it'll scratch the same itch, but it is a very different game. Give it a look. That's all I'm saying. It is very different. I had dismissed it. I was like, "Oh, this is just a Minecraft clone," and then I watched the video and I went, "Oh, this is a completely different game." I think I might like Dragon Quest Builders more than Minecraft. And I like Minecraft quite a bit. I am 100% down. When I buy a PS4, Dragon Quest Builders will be one of the first three or four games I buy.
Cool.
That's high praise, considering how many good games there are.
Yeah. And so then the publisher we skipped over was Ubisoft. It's kind of funny. I'm not really interested in any of their games, which makes the press conference very boring to me, except for one game that I did think was pretty cool was the Star Trek Bridge Crew virtual reality thing, which is, you know, it, like lots of these virtual reality games, you're like walking around or it's like, you know, they're trying to like, you know, just slap VR onto a what is already a standard gameplay mechanic. But this is great because Bridge Crew is like, you're not like moving around or whatever. You are at a station on a starship and you're working with other people to, you know, fly things and fight Klingons and all that kind of stuff. And it just, it looks really cool.
And also, how about we could, like, if we both had PlayStation VR, which I presume will probably happen in the next 5 years, like, you and I, I'm just saying, I mean, it'll probably happen.
Yeah.
You and I could be on the same bridge crew. You're in Seattle, I'm in Connecticut, but we're in the same bridge, right? Like, you know, we could, I could be engineering, you could be the captain.
Yeah.
Because I would not take your captain's chair from you. I respect great leadership. So.
Oh, well, that's very nice of you. This is one more thing I did want to mention. It's kind of a weird thing to kind of close the discussion on is that Ubisoft, they announced this really weird game. Like, usually they do their big announcement of their new thing at the end of their press conference.
Yeah,
and they did
one.
Their big announcements of a new game at their press conference, but it's kind of really weird. It's called Steep, and it's a game in which you go hang out on the Alps and like ski and snowboard if you want to, and maybe you like time how long it takes you to ski and snowboard somewhere, and you can tell your friends like, "Hey, look at you, want to beat my time?" But there's not an objective to it at all, and it's just kind of weird-ish mountain climbing skiing sim. Which I don't know. I don't understand it. I personally, though, I don't like skiing or snowboarding or any of that stuff. So, but this game was just, I don't know.
It was definitely
really weird.
One thing that I do want to say is they officially succeeded in making me want to play Watch Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
I was not even kind of sold on it, but man, like, so what I like about it is they finally created a game. Like, they created a Watch Dogs game where they have a character that I actually, like, care about and a, like, a goal that actually makes sense to me in that I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm trying to get followers or I'm trying to get people to download my app to, like, join Anonymous, basically. And that just sounds way interesting. I am very down. Like, they made me very excited about Watch Dogs, and I was, like, lukewarm. Now I'm in.
Yeah, so that was the last there. Like we said, Nintendo's been doing a stream Microsoft's been doing streams too. Like, everybody's doing live stream stuff. Nintendo's like the only one where we got a big announcement out of.
Another announcement that was literally just made from Nintendo 10 minutes ago. Literally.
Yeah.
is Paper Mario Color Splash, Wii U, October 7th. There's going to be a trailer on one of our websites by the time you listen to this. It looks absolutely gorgeous.
Cool.
And it's Paper Mario, so it's going to be dumb. So, yeah. So, that literally just happened. Yeah. Just happened.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. So I guess keep watching Nintendo because they're tossing stuff out when you least expect it. But honestly, we're ending the second day of the show when we're recording this. So things are gonna start slowing down. There's not a lot of announcements that happen on the last day of the show. It's just not something that's done. Although it's funny, I've had some PR people. I got emails this morning from PR people asking if I wanted to make an appointment to go to their booth at E3. I'm like, what? You're totally doing this wrong. Like, you wait till the second day of the show to ask people to make appointments to go to your booth? Are you nuts? Like, any of the big journalists will have been completely booked and probably are not seeing everything that they want to see. You can't wait till the second day of the show to do this. I was just completely baffled.
To be fair, though,
so
they probably know that we're not big journalists.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I know. I'm just saying. I experienced that a fair amount. I mean, our sites. I mean, they probably know we're not IGN because there is only one IGN.
Yes.
I get what you mean. With that said, they could be. I have run into this at some of the independent game festivals. Is that they'll, you know, when it gets close, if they have cancellations, they'll try and fill them. I mean, they did pay. Uh-huh. Last I checked, it was like 50 or 60 grand for a 10x10 booth. You gotta make that worth
it. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think
E3 is although E3 is not anywhere near as expensive as GDC was to exhibit at. It's from my PR and marketing days. GDC is crazy
really?
And that's expensive. I don't know. We wanna talk quickly about what we've been playing, Steven, or have you just been
I'll be honest,
writing,
I have
sleeping?
Not touched a video game since I played Overwatch, but people don't want to hear me talk about Overwatch anymore. yeah, I haven't played anything. I'm going to play Kirby Robobot. It's waiting.
Yes.
I think I'm taking tonight off, actually. When we're done with this, I think I'm actually taking tonight off, so I may actually play some video games. Because
cool.
I've written a lot of words.
Yes.
And I still have 2 more days of not working at my day job to write. I think I might treat myself to video games tonight.
Yes, I think that's probably a good thing to do.
Have you played anything?
I haven't been playing much, though. I've been playing a little bit of Animal Crossing New Leaf, which I downloaded and thought Anna's going to like this, and maybe I can encourage her to try to start reading. And I've been playing it, and I'm like trying to tell myself, I'm only playing this to help her out with her town. I'm only doing it to help her out with her town. Really, I'm not playing it because I just want to play it, but that's kind of what is happening.
You're lying to yourself.
I was lying to myself. So that's about it besides the Hearthstone and Stardew Valley. Yeah, my big piece on the farming sim games or, you know, had to take a backseat to E3. But that's still coming. I'm still working on it. So
All right.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or feedback, send an email to hello@pixelkin.org. Pixelkin is a website for gamers with kids. We talk about everything from hardcore games all the way down to great apps for preschoolers, and you can find us at pixelkin.org. We are on Facebook, just simply Pixelkin. We are on Twitter at pixelkin_org. I am personally on Twitter at Nicole Tanner. As mentioned at the top of the show, Steven is editor and founder of EngageFamilyGaming.com. And he's in basically other places too, Steven. Where are those places?
Thanks, Nicole. So, this is not the only place you can hear my voice. I am also the host of a podcast for my website called Engage, a family gaming podcast. It is worth noting there is a Star Trek podcast that is also called Engage. It just launched yesterday. It is worth noting. No. Yeah, this is super great. It just happened yesterday. Thanks, guys. I've only been active.
Well, you know what? Maybe you'll get some like accidental listeners
totally
who will subscribe.
That's what I'm hoping. yeah. So it is worth noting, and this is why. And I knew that was going to happen eventually, which is why I always refer to my podcast as Engage, a family gaming podcast. That is the official name of the website. This week is video game week. Next week we're going to talk about board games. And it's Origins Game Fair this weekend, so it's lots of interest. So I'm going right from E3 to Origins. Great. You can also find us on Facebook. That is by searching Engage Family Gaming. You can find us on Twitter. That is at EF Gaming. We're on Instagram. You know where to what to search there. We also have a YouTube channel. Search for Engage Family Gaming there. I've actually been putting up pre and post shows for all of the various conferences where I sit and you listen to me talk about things. And we're going to put some gameplay videos up there soon, too. Also, join our Facebook community. It is growing, and I am rebranding it this summer, so it'll be super exciting. That's engagefamilygaming.com/community. And we have all sorts of fun in there.
Yes, we do. Okay. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with you next week.
Bye.